Heartlands on Midlands 103.
Midlands 103. Just great radio.
Good morning and very warm welcome to Heartlands here on Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill. And folks, a very happy St. Patrick's Day. Today is the day where we will have all sorts of festivities and fun and action taking place as we remember our patron saint. But who is he and what is he all about? That are the questions we should really be asking ourselves. And why is he so important to us? Well, I love this. I was looking up St. Patrick's breastplate some time ago, and we all know the little piece where it goes and talks about Christ be with me, Christ within me, etc., etc., etc. But there is so much more to that prayer. And when you contemplate it and think about it, imagine the impact it must have had on him as he went and made this declaration day by day, as he arose each morning to begin the day. So imagine if you began each day with this prayer. I bind to myself today the strong virtue of the invocation of the Trinity. I believe in the Trinity, in the unity, the creator of the universe. I bind myself today the virtue of the incarnation of Christ with his baptism, the virtue of his crucifixion with his burial, the virtue of his resurrection with his ascension, the virtue of his coming on the judgment day. I bind to myself today the virtue of the love of seraphim, in the obedience of angels, in the hope of resurrection unto reward, in the prayers of the patriarchs, in the traditions of the prophets, in the preaching of apostles, in faith of confessors, in purity of holy virgins, in deeds of righteous men. I bind to myself today the power of heaven, the light of the sun, the brightness of the moon, the splendor of fire, the flashing of lightning, the swiftness of the wind, the depth of sea, the stability of earth, the compactness of rocks. I bind to myself today God's power to guide me, God's might to uphold me, God's wisdom to teach me, God's eye to watch over me, God's ear to hear me, God's word to give me speech, God's hand to guide me, God's way to lie before me, God's shield to shelter me, God's host to secure me against the snares of demons, against the seductions of vices, against the lusts of nature, against everyone who meditates injury to me, whether far or near, whether few or with many. I invoke today all these virtues against every hostile, merciless power which may assail my body and my soul, against the incantations of false prophets, against the black laws of heathenism, against the false laws of heresy, against the deceits of idolatry, against the spells of women and smiths and druids, against every knowledge that binds the soul of man. Christ, protect me today against every poison, against burning, against drowning, against death wound, that I may receive abundant reward. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ within me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ at my right, Christ at my left, Christ in the fort, Christ in the chariot seat, Christ in the stern, Christ in the heart of everyone who thinks of me, Christ in the mouth of everyone who speaks to me, Christ in every eye that sees me, Christ in every ear that hears me. I bind myself today the strong virtue of an invocation of the Trinity. I believe in the Trinity, in the unity, the creator of the universe. Amen. Can you imagine starting every day like that? Is it any wonder that St. Patrick had such an impact upon our nation, lasting to this day? Because again, we are celebrating what he accomplished in our lives, even in 2024.
Reading Psalms 51. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, so that sinners will turn back to you. Deliver me from the guilt of bloodshed, O God. You, who are God, my Saviour, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. Open my lips, Lord, and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I will bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. My sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart you, God, will not despise. May it please you to prosper Zion, to build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in the sacrifices of the righteous, in burnt offerings offered whole. Then bulls will be offered on your altar.
Heartlands on Midlands 103.
Midlands 103. Just great radio.
Welcome back to Heartlands on Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill. Joining me now is Pastor Dominic Montgomery. Dominic is the Baptist pastor of Cherith Baptist Church in Athlone. Trevor from our ministry team told me that both he and Dominic were conversing about the topic of reclaiming St. Patrick's Day. Curious, I asked Dominic what did he mean by that and would he like to chat about it on the radio. Dominic asked me could he think about it, which he did, and then he recorded these audio clips on the topic for me. But it's more about reclaiming St. Patrick himself. Yet Dominic gives us both an insight into the history of St. Patrick's Day itself and also explores the person of St. Patrick. So here is Dominic.
Let me ask you a question. What does St. Patrick's Day mean to you? Did he really drive out the snakes from Ireland? Was he even a real person? And might there be just some truth behind all the myth and legend from the distant past? What do we know about the man, his roots, and his life? Did he even have a real relationship with God? Maybe we can take a little time to concentrate on the realities of the man. Up until the 1970s in Ireland, the 17th of March was just another relatively minor feast day. The priest at Mass would acknowledge that it was St. Patrick's Day, and families might have a larger than usual meal that night in honour of the saints. The priest at Mass would acknowledge it was St. Patrick's Day, and the families might have a larger than usual meal that night in honour of Ireland's patron saint. But really, that was about it. The day just passed. However, in the US, since the 1800s, strong Irish-American communities hosted banquets in Boston and Savannah and Charleston on Patrick's Feast Day, the 17th of March. They wanted to celebrate the good work that Irish charitable groups had done for their people and in their local communities. Later, parades became part of the tradition for the 17th, especially in Boston, Philadelphia, and Chicago. Yes, the saint was certainly being honoured, but ethnic identity was also being confirmed and strong bonds of friendship were being forged. Now, all that having been said, what we do know about the real St. Patrick comes from copies of two sources of his original writings. The first is the Confession of Patrick, which is largely an autobiographical account of his life. The second is his personal letter to Caroticus. Patrick was descended from a family that had been, for at least two generations, Christians. We know that because he tells us that his father was the deacon Capernaus, son of the late Potitus, a presbyter of the settlement of Banaven Tabernae. We believe that Patrick was born in 373 AD. Some say he lived in Wales. Others say England, and still others say Scotland. But it seems clear that he was under Roman control wherever he lived. When he was just 16 years old, 389 AD, Patrick was captured by a band of Irish pirates who sold him as a slave to a local chieftain, Milwick, who lived close to Slemish Mountain in what is now County Antrim, Northern Ireland. For 6 years, Patrick tended flocks. In his confession, he tells us, "I was taken captive before I knew what I should desire and what I should shun." It was during this time that God began to work in him. Isn't it often the hard times that bring us to God? He goes on to say, "Before I was humbled, I was like a stone lying in deep mire. And he that is mighty came, and in his mercy raised me up, and indeed lifted me high up and placed me on top of the wall. And from there, I ought to shout out in gratitude to the Lord for his great favours in this world and forever that the mind of man cannot measure." I wonder, do you know the delight of God getting a hold of your life and how that feels? Patrick, like so many of the godly men of history, was overwhelmed at the incredible riches of God's grace to individuals such as himself. And therefore, he wanted as many people as possible to hear about this amazing grace. It was a constant theme that echoed through the words of his confession. "I am greatly God's debtor," he says, "because he granted me so much grace." He went on to say, "More and more did the love of God and my fear of him and faith increase. And my spirit was moved so that in a day I said from 1 up to 100 prayers, and in the night a like number. Because, as I now see, the spirit was burning in me at that time." How does God's grace affect you? Patrick relates how after 6 years he escaped, and after a difficult journey over land and sea, he eventually returned to his people. In his own words, "I was again in Britain with my family, and they welcomed me as a son and asked me in faith that after the great tribulations I had endured, I should not go anywhere else away from them. But this was a request that he would not be able to keep." Patrick records in his confession that one night in a dream, "I saw a man whose name was Victoricus, coming, as it were, from Ireland with innumerable letters, and he gave me one of them, and I read the beginning of the letter, the voice of the Irish. I seemed at that moment to hear the voices of those who were beside the forest of Falkland, which is near the Western Sea, and they were crying as if with one voice, 'We beg you, holy youth, that you shall come and shall walk again among us.' And I was stung intensely in my heart so that I could read no more. And thus I awoke."
Heartlands on Midlands 103.
Midlands 103. Just great radio.
Good morning and welcome to Heartlands here in Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill. So folks, it's St. Patrick's Day, and a happy St. Patrick's Day to you. And of course, what was it that St. Patrick came back to Ireland? I love that. Here he was, a slave in captivity, got his opportunity to escape, disappeared, and then he ends up this, is called by God to go back to the very ones that had bought him as a slave, to tell them the mystery of the good news. Well, here is the story of the good news, sung to the tune of "O Danny Boy, I Cannot Tell Why He Who Angels Worship." Now we're going to hand back over to Dominic as he continues to inform us about St. Patrick's life. Thank you, Dominic.
Patrick knew that it was the Lord calling him. A still, quiet voice said to him, "And he who gave his life for you, he it is who speaks within you." It was quite clear to him that the Lord was sending him back to work as a missionary to the very island where he had once been a slave. He was being enslaved all over again, but this time willingly, to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Patrick returned to Ireland in 405 AD, and this is verified by two other sources, Marcus and Ninius. This is important to recognize because there is some confusion with a person called Palladius, who was sent by Pope Celestine in 432 AD to bring the Irish churches under papal control. But note that these Irish churches were already there, but then hadn't Patrick been working for the previous 27 years? It is recorded that Palladius' mission failed, and very much discouraged, he left for Scotland. But Patrick continued on in what God had given him to do. As he had previously said in his letter to Caroticus, I am a servant in Christ to a foreign nation for the unspeakable glory of life everlasting, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I, Patrick, a sinner, unlearned, resident in Ireland. Maybe this was why he used the simple shamrock to explain the difficult doctrine of three persons in one God, the Trinity. How do you see yourself? And what is your mission and role in life? We believe that Patrick labored for the Lord about 60 years and clearly under his blessing. He states in his confession, through me, many people would be reborn in God and soon after confirmed, that clergy would be ordained everywhere for them and for the masses lately come to believe, whom the Lord drew from the ends of the earth. Patrick put into practice what the Bible teaches. Therefore, my brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know your labor in the Lord is not in vain. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. By his death in 461 AD, it is claimed that Patrick had ordained 350 bishops, 500 priests, and saw some 700 churches planted across Ireland, each with a pastor or elder whose authority derived from their service. What an impact his ministry must have had. The island would have been totally transformed as the old pagan ways were driven out. Could this be why he is credited with and pictured as driving out the snakes, demonic symbols, from the island of Ireland? The monasteries that he set up were places where men came to learn the scriptures and then go out to preach, teach and evangelize. These men saw lives, communities and indeed nations changed as the good news of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ was proclaimed and believed. After Patrick's death, others took on the responsibility. Men such as Finian, who was teaching up to 3,000 students in the Abbey of Clonard, County Meath, around 520 AD. One such man taught by Finian was St. Kieran, who was eventually to set up the monastery along the Escariada at Clonmacnoise in 534. St. Columba also studied under Finian, and under self-imposed exile, he founded the community on Iona in 563 AD. Indeed, there are claims that it was Irish Christianity that brought civilization out of the Dark Ages through men like these who travelled with the truth and gossiped the gospel. It really is no wonder then that Ireland became known as the Island of Saints and Scholars. These saints and scholars were, just like Patrick said, granted so much grace. Let's close with some of Patrick's own words from what is now called St. Patrick's breastplate. Christ with me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ in me, Christ beneath me, Christ above me, Christ on my right, Christ on my left, Christ when I lie down, Christ when I sit down, Christ when I arise. I arise today through a mighty strength, the invocation of the Trinity, through belief in the threeness, through confession of the oneness of the Creator of creation. Amen. I trust God that you will have a truly blessed St. Patrick's Day this year.
Heartlands on Midlands 103.
Midlands 103. Just great radio.
Welcome back to Heartlands here in Midlands 103 with me, the Reverend Nigel Gill. And folks, in this section we end up that we have a song from Iona. And the song is a reflection on where the Christianity had gone and how it had grown. And you will hear reference to the wild goose. See, as a result of St. Patrick's ministry on the island of Ireland, many came to Christ. And a Celtic church was formed. It wasn't a Roman church. It wasn't an Anglican church. It was a Celtic church. And it had huge impact then during the Dark Ages, when Europe was turning its back on God. Ireland became a safe haven for Christians, became a safe haven for the writings of Christians. And there were large and vast libraries here, and students came and were trained here and then went back out, as Dominic was telling us. And so the song refers to the wild goose being the Holy Spirit. And that's how the Celtic Church went and referred to the Holy Spirit. They described it as a wild goose because a goose used to migrate. Came and it went, and you didn't know where it was going. But also, in this section, we're going to deviate away as well, and we're going to have our little on cup on tay, and it's an IPQ for you. And that is an invitation, a promise, and a question. Listen closely, because it is good news, and that's what St. Patrick brought to Ireland, was good news. So, here's the question. As you listen, what is it that you need from Christ today? Welcome to Un Cup on Tay. Folks, from an architectural point of view, and just nosiness maybe, when you go into a church, what is the impression that church gives you? And also, what is very interesting is, what is actually on the walls? What is written on the walls? What is the life and soul of that church? And the last couple of weeks, this has really fascinated me, especially in the church in Athlone. In the stained glass window, as I have referred to in times past, and especially on my radio show, it goes and says in the stained glass, "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And so as you enter into the church, there it is in the stained glass, the invitation of Jesus Christ from Matthew 11 and 28, calling you to come to him. I think that's a beautiful picture as you step into the church, this invitation of Jesus to come to him. But if you were to go in and you were to sit down on the right-hand side of the church, and then you were to glance to your right, there's a plate, a metal plate, which is inlaid into the stone some way. And on that plate, it just says, "Ask and ye shall receive." And it just really struck me. As you step into the church, here's the invitation of Jesus at the front. "Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden," taken from Matthew 11, 28, as I said. And then here's this other scripture. "Ask and ye shall receive," this promise. This promise of Jesus taken from Matthew 7 and 7. And so as you sit there in that church, here's the invite. Here is the promise. And when we were away in retreat, as I said earlier this year, the question that was put to us was from John and chapter 1, where the apostles were following Jesus. And this is what it goes and says, just to give you its context. It says, "The next day Jesus was there again with two of his disciples. And when he saw Jesus passing by, he said, 'Look, the Lamb of God.' When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus said to them, 'What do you want?'" And so there is the question. So here's the thing. Think about this. You come into this place, you sit down, there's the invitation of Jesus at the front. "Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden." There is the promise of Jesus, "Ask and you shall receive." And then here is the question that Jesus goes and gives these two disciples as they were following him. "What do you want?" Now let me put this to you. If you are someone and you are following Jesus, you're a disciple of Jesus, that invitation is there for you today to come unto him, all you who are weary and heavy laden. But we don't need to be weary and heavy laden to come to Jesus. We just can come anyway. And then there is the promise that he goes and gives us, taken from Matthew 7:7. Ask and it will be given unto you. What would you ask for today? Do you believe the promise? Do we take Jesus at his word? And then Jesus was to look at you. He was to turn around as he did with those disciples. And looking at you, he goes and says, what do you want? What would your answer be? So what I've been encouraging people to do, and I would encourage you to do, get a piece of paper. Write down what is it that you would really want to see God do. Now, as I said, you know, you could go and say, well, I'd really like the Lord to give me a Mercedes. Do you really need that? Or do you just need a car? When you go on and get yourself a Mercedes, you also get with it all of the expenses that go with it in regard to parts and all the rest. You pay for the name, you pay for the brand. But what is the things of your soul that you need? Jesus also goes and says that your heavenly Father knows what you need even before we ask. So what is it? Today, he is saying, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden. There's that invitation. Today, he is saying, here's my promise. Ask and you shall receive. Today, he is asking you, what do you want? And as I said, it occurs to me, you're just thinking about how many people over the 160-year lifespan of that church that came in and sat in those seats, saw the invitation, saw the promise, and told Jesus what they desired. Today, what is the desire of your heart? I've mentioned this scripture before, but it's fitting to finish with. And that is in Psalm 37:4, God says, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Today, there's the invitation. Today, there's the promise. Today, there's the question. What is on your heart? Thank you for joining me for this on Cup on Tay. I'll leave it with you.
Heartlands on Midlands 103.